It's a true story about a little boy by the name of Juan who grew up in Mexico. And while he was in Mexico with his family one night in their small home, a fire broke out. And the fire happened so quickly and consumed the house and that the family didn't have a chance to get out. Juan barely escaped with his life. He was left burned on his body, especially on his face, and his entire family was killed. So in the space of really just a few hours, Juan was left without a family. He was physically injured. He didn't have a place to call home anymore, and he was broken. There was an orphanage in the town, and Juan immediately went there and talked to the priest who ran the orphanage and began to share his story with him. And the priest was very moved about what had happened to Juan, and as he looked at Juan, as he heard Juan's story, he wanted to take him in, but he shared with Juan, you know what, I need to go and talk to the boys because we're like a family, and it's really up to them as well to decide what to do. And so the next day, they were standing in the courtyard of this orphanage, and Juan was standing next to the priest, and all of the boys were lined up in the orphanage, and the priest was sharing with them about Juan's story. And he asked the boys about what they wanted to do. And a few moments went by, and then all of a sudden, a little boy from the back came running up, and he stood next to Juan, and he put out his arm and put it around Juan's shoulders, and he said, Juan es mi hermano, which means Juan is my brother. And with that, he took Juan by the hand, and he led him back into the group. And that day, they had a big party, and they celebrated and rejoiced that Juan was a part of their family. And it certainly was one of the happiest days in Juan's life as he was welcomed into a new family. Juan had come to a new home. And you know, I think one of the powerful truths that you and I need to embrace as followers of Jesus Christ is that the Lord is calling us to be his arms, his embrace to a world that is still looking for a place to call home. Deep down inside, there are many in the world at this very moment who realize there is something missing in their lives, and they're not quite sure who or what it is. They maybe have been trying to fill that void for many, many years in many different ways, but there is still something missing for them, and they know that. And they are still looking for a place called home. A couple of weeks ago, I began to share with you some reflections on the heart of what I believe is God's vision for us at St. John's, not only in this hour, but hopefully in the months and years to come. And I began to share with you about God's call on our life to embrace him, to say yes to his love for us. Last week, I spent some time reflecting with you on the reality of God's call for us to love our neighbors as ourselves and the importance of mercy and forgiveness in the midst of that. And today I'd like to spend a few moments reflecting with you on God's call in our life to serve the world, to serve the world with him. Jesus not only calls us to be redeemed in his love, but to share that redeeming love with everyone that we can meet, that his love might transform and touch them, and that they might be welcomed truly and completely into his family. Today's story in the gospel is a very powerful parable that Jesus shares with us about the judgment at the last day. And the parable is really a picture. It's a story that also communicates some very powerful truths. And one of the most powerful lines in there for me in this whole story is where Jesus says to the listeners of that day, and he says to you and me here today, whatever you have done to one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done unto me. And it's interesting in this story, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, that another theme is very powerfully brought out. And that is our actions toward others actually in some way affect our eternity. Now, let me make it clear. I'm a firm believer that we are saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. But in this parable, something that is powerfully communicated to us by Jesus is that our actions matter. That the way we treat other human beings is important to him. And in fact, the way that we treat others is a reflection of how we're treating him. Especially the least in this story are the needy. And it's interesting, Jesus is incredibly practical and down to earth as he shares about who the needy are. And we've all met the needy even in our day and age. The needy are people who are hungry. They're people who are thirsty. They're people who are naked and need clothing. They're strangers, they are sick, and they are the imprisoned. And the reality of this parable is that what is so powerfully simple is also so powerfully important, and that is the righteous met their need. They didn't rationalize their need away. They didn't come up with reasons as to why they should have met their own need. They didn't come up with theories about why they shouldn't reach out and help them in their need. But very simply, the righteous are those who reach out to the needy that are in their midst and meet their need. And it's interesting, as we serve the world, as we begin to embrace the call of Jesus to us in this hour, wherever we are, I think one of the most important questions that you and I have to ask as we look at the world and then we look at people in our daily lives is, what is their need? What is their cry to me? What is it that they're exactly asking for, and how might I be able to meet their need? You know, Juan was alone. He needed a family. Juan's home had burned down. He needed a place of shelter. Juan no longer had a mother and a father to care for him and provide food. He needed that as well. And maybe most importantly, what Juan needed as well was a new family. He needed a new community that would welcome him in and comfort him and that he could be a part of and grow with as he was a young boy. Juan had so many needs, didn't he? And that's part of our struggle. As we hear this call to serve the world from our Lord afresh this day, for some of us, our eyes began to develop a glaze over them. We just begin to have a blank stare. We begin to withdraw ourselves because it's just one more appeal in the face of so many other appeals. I mean, all you got to do is go to your mailbox tomorrow or turn on the TV or maybe take a walk down your street, and invariably there is going to be some need coming before you, staring you in the face. And isn't it true for so many of us that all of these needs have overwhelmed us? I mean, after a while, they just become overwhelming, don't they? And you become numb. You begin to put up your arm and begin to establish a distance between yourself and other people that are in need because I can only take so much. And you begin to say to yourself, I can't do anymore. And so what do you do when you're at that point? Well, one of the things that I do is that whenever someone comes to me who is in need, or a particular opportunity for need comes across my desk or across my life is, I resist the temptation to ignore them. I resist the temptation to automatically file that envelope in file 13, you know, the garbage can, yeah, trash can. And what I try to do is I try to put it on my desk or I try to listen to the person who is in need and then give myself some time to prayerfully consider what God would have me do. Because I believe that every need and every person and every opportunity that comes across your life, I believe could very well be from God. And it's important that you and I consider that need. In fact, Jesus is saying as much, that whatever you have done to one of the least of these, you have done to me. And if every need that is coming across my path is somehow an opportunity from God, then at least I need to pray about it. At least I need to ask God about, God, what would you have me do? Even if it's as simple as praying for this person or this situation, or maybe reaching out to them in some way. Resist the temptation of throwing that away or ignoring the person. And also, please resist the temptation of saying to yourself, well, you know what? I've never done it that way before. I don't do that. We don't do it that way. Well, so what? Maybe God is calling you to begin to do it that way. I mean, aren't we living in a time of so many different and varied changes in this moment? And some of them are very beautiful. I mean, the patio hasn't looked the way it's looked for a long time, and it's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's a change, and it's a good change. And I want to say to you that as God calls us to serve the world, there will be some other good changes as well. So pray about, lovingly pray about every opportunity that comes across your path. The other thing I would suggest to you is that we need to expand our horizons. When Jesus called the disciples to go out and be his witnesses, right before he ascended into heaven in the book of Acts at the very beginning, he said to them prophetically, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth." Interpretation: you shall be my witnesses in Naples, in Florida, in the United States, and throughout the entire world. God is calling us to be a witness and to reach out not only in this local community, but in the state of Florida, throughout the United States, and throughout the world. God is inviting us to begin to have his vision, which is expansive, which is inclusive, which knows no limits. Yes, you and I are limited. We are incredibly limited, but that's where God comes in. That's where God comes in. I'm excited now. I wasn't excited earlier in my Christian life, but I'm beginning to get excited when I come to a place where I'm at my limitations and I know God has put an opportunity before me, and I begin to say, "But God, I can't do this." Exactly. Exactly right. You can't do this. But it's not about you. It's about you and me. It's about God and you working together and discerning what God is going to do through you. It's about the God of the impossible beginning to move through his servant here on earth, beginning to do miraculous and wonderful and incredible things that the world might begin to see that the God of the universe is real. See, that's why Jesus needed to come to the earth. That's why Jesus is so special, because people needed to see God. And they saw God in Jesus, and they can begin to see God through you and me as we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us in impossible, miraculous, challenging, incredible ways, so that people see what's going on and say, "You know what? I know that place. I know that person. I know that church. And the only explanation for what's going on is God." Because it's not them. I know them. It's not them. Hello. All right, you're starting to get it now. It's not them. It's not him. It's not her. It's got to be God. And that's what I want people to start saying about this church. That's my prayer. My prayer is that God would consistently bring us as a people to a place where we are limited and we desperately need God. And people begin to look at this place and say, "You know what? What's going on there is because of what God is doing and because of what God's Spirit is doing, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up." Today is a new member welcome today. In just a few moments, we'll be greeting some of the people who have joined the church over the past year since our last new member welcome. And I just want to say to all of you who will be a part of that today, I am so grateful you are here. I am so grateful for the new members in this church. And whether you have been coming here for a while and just recently joined, or whether you've just joined over the past few months, we are grateful for your presence. And I really mean that from the depth of my heart. And I want to invite you to join us in serving the world. I want to invite you to join us in reaching out from this place to touch the hearts of many people. And one of the ways I want to invite you to join us is to be a faithful steward unto the Lord. You know, I look for two things for a person to actually be a part of St. John's. One is, do you consider St. John's your spiritual home? It's one of the questions I ask people. Do you come here on a regular basis, and are you being spiritually fed here? And can you see yourself being a part of this family like Juan could see him being a part of that orphanage? And if that's a yes, then that's a good sign. And the other thing that I invariably ask people is, are you willing to be a faithful steward with us? Because I believe one of the important things in being part of the Lord's family is to be faithful to him with the stewardship of our life. God has given us everything. He's given us the very gift of himself and the gift of his son, and what he asks for is the gift of our life back to him. And so all of you who are being welcomed as new members today, I encourage you along with us to be faithful stewards of all that God has given you, of your heart. Embrace God. Love your neighbor and serve the world. Be faithful in terms of the use of your time and your talent. And then finally, in your treasure, begin to move with us toward the tithe. And if you're not there yet, at least begin to move in that direction, that you might be a faithful steward unto the Lord of every dimension of your being. And if you're not there yet, you're in wonderful company. Because we're not there yet either. We are learning and we are growing together in terms of what this spiritual journey means. And we're so grateful that you're here with us for that journey. And what I say to you, I say to all, is that whether you're a full-time or seasonal, if you are coming here on a regular basis, St. John's is your spiritual family. And we embrace you, and I'm grateful that you're embracing us. Embrace God, love your neighbor, and serve the world. In closing, beloved, the world needs us now. The world is literally being shaken to its core. Whether it's Haiti or Chile, other parts of the world physically, I mean, it is being shaken to its core and crumbling down to the very foundations of buildings that were once there. There is incredible financial need, and there is incredible physical need and incredible spiritual need. And the world is crying out to us. And what I am saying to you is simply repeating the words of Jesus, whatever you do to one of the least of these, you do to me. And I beg you, do not close off your ears. Do not make the mistake of hardening your heart. But I invite you along with our Lord to weep, to allow your heart to be broken, to feel, to be moved. But Father Joe, if I do that, I might do something. Yeah, you might. You might actually begin to walk in the Spirit of God. You might actually be open to what Jesus would have you do, which is exactly what the Lord is doing right now. And he is weeping and he's crying over Naples and over Florida, over Haiti and Chile. His heart is broken over what these people are going through. And we as his people, our hearts should be broken as well, that we might respond from a broken heart with a spirit of love and mercy and grace in the presence of Jesus. Juan is standing before you, and he's looking for a place to call home. My question to you and me this day is, what will we do? Let us pray. Father, you are so loving and so caring. And Jesus, we thank you that you are an example to us of the Father's love. And Lord, we want to thank you that as we look at your life, it was a life that served the world. We thank you for this wonderful story today about the last judgment where you'll separate the sheep from the goats. And one of the things, Lord, we know from this parable that you're looking at is how we treat the needy in our midst. Lord, you know how hard it is for us sometimes to maintain a soft heart. You know how hard it is for us sometimes in the midst of our busy lives to listen to one more need or to even just take the time to prayerfully consider a possibility that is before us. Help us, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit that we might be open to your grace as you call us to serve the world. Help us to prayerfully consider the people and the opportunities that come across our path. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would lead and guide the St. John's family in the ministry to the world that you have for us. Help us to be open to new possibilities locally and nationally and internationally, that we might be the very vessel of your Holy Spirit, reaching out to this world in the hour of its being shaken to the core, that we might be the light of your love to them. I thank you for that little boy, an orphan among orphans, who saw himself in Juan and ran up to him and welcomed him as his brother. Lord, I pray that same love would grow in our hearts for each person that we come to know. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith.